Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's 5 o'clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
What?
It is time for the Falcons Report.
Whoa! Casey got another pick. Here's Julio down the far sideline and will score. Sacked. Grady Jarrett got another one.
You shall not pass.
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report.
Oh my heavens!
On Dukes and Bell.
Yeah, man, it's a Tuesday in paradise, and it is quitting time. It's Mike Bell with our buddy Brian McFadden in for Carl Dukes today. We like to start the 5 o'clock hour, as we do every hour, with a big hearty, hey, man! That's right, brother. And we got Nick Green's going to join us about 5:20 or so with our strong-arm story of the day. A lot of people talking about the Bravos last night, whatever that thing was with Wilson Contreras and Tyler Flowers. We'll give you some sound from what the principals had to say about that whole situation. But we got some Falcons report. We've also got some news breaking today from the NFL, and it has an Alabama connection real quick before we get to the Falcons. Jonah Williams, top draft pick for the Bengals, who went early 11th in the NFL draft. Looked like he's going to have to shut it down with a torn labrum. And that's a nasty rehab. That's a bad surgery. I know I've been – anybody who's had a rotator cuff, well, that's even worse. I had – the needle they put in your arm, man, is like, you know, it's like one they use on Secretariat. You know, you got to get that cortisone in there. But anyway, in his case, it's torn. So no Bengals top pick ready to go this year. Jonah Williams looks like to be out for the whole season, reporting Cincinnati Inquirer says. So that's bad news, man.
Yeah, big-time loss for Cincinnati. You know, first-round selection, a guy who I believe potentially would be a day-one starter, knowing that he will be gone for the entire season is a big-time blow. But the timing of this injury is the most ideal thing here in this news. Now you have an opportunity to prepare for life
without him.
Yeah,
so. Right. Now, again, he'll be back. But like we said, remember there was the real backbreaker, I think we said earlier in the show, is like Dante Fowler for the Jaguars a couple years ago. It was like a first OTA or like the first mini camp, whatever. And it keeps – rookie minicamp, and he blows his knee out. And eventually they cut bait on him, kind of like what I was hoping the Falcons would do with Vic Beasley. And they end up trading him to the Rams, and then he winds up, you know, getting another deal with them. It is our Falcon Report brought to you by Domino's. Great deals going on right now. Domino's, $5.99. You know, we heard me talk about, we know the pizza deals are always awesome, but what about, like, the brownies, and what about the bread twists, and what about, like, all the wings and the salads and everything else? Some great deals you can mix and match, all for $5.99. Find out more details when you go to Domino's.com, especially on the way home.
I love their wings, by the way.
Who does? Doesn't.
Yes.
I mean, I like, first off, when I'm sitting here and I like a thin, I like the thin crust, but I go, I'm a little crazy, I go white sauce. I go like the Alfredo, but that's me. That's what I like to do. And I put a lot of pepperoni on. I pile it high.
Craig gives me
a thumbs up on the white sauce. White sauce. Thank you. So the Falcons, they are going to get ready to rock and roll, and it starts, and the dates are out there. If you're wondering, we'll all be out there, including us, the entire station, to see what they got. And it all starts in earnest on July 22nd. D-Led's got it in the AJC. They're going to have 8 practices open to Falcon fans who want to make the trip up to Flowery Branch. Monday, July 22nd through Thursday, July 25th. We get one on Saturday, the 27th and 28th on the weekends, which is easier for some folks because all these sessions, as we said, are morning sessions. But the good news is, guys, for people who don't get a chance to get into Mercedes-Benz, and it is a great stadium, it's pretty impressive, isn't it, Brian?
Yes, sir.
The Military Appreciation Day at the Benz, it'll be Sunday, August 4th. They opened up the stadium to the fans. They had a huge crowd. We were up at Flowery Branch, and Dan Quinn said they really fed – players loved it. They fed off the energy, having all the fans in there.
Yeah.
What, would you mind? I mean, do you mind when you had players with fans around when you're practicing?
Oh, you love it.
A little energy?
I mean, it gives you extra energy, you know, knowing the fans are out there watching everything you do. The atmosphere is a little different than not having any fans around because, remember, for the rookies, they haven't really got an opportunity to experience the fans. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? OTAs, mini camps is pretty much shut off to the public. So in training camp, you get a chance to see thousands and thousands of people show up during work-related days to support you. It does a lot.
We were talking earlier in the show, the NFL Blitz, and it's a conversation that John Chuckery and I had last week about could you really see two rookies starting on the line? Now, it's one thing, and you brought up the Colts. I think we'll talk more about that in a second. But what about the idea they'll have 5 weeks to get ready? Mm-hmm. Could you see Caleb McGarry beating Sombrello? Could you see, and we've got a lot more guys, we spent $80 million in the offensive line. It's, you know, it's more than we expected. But can you see both these rookies, Lindstrom and McGarry, starting on the same side in the season?
Yeah, we can. I can. And I said earlier, you know, we just saw this happen with the Colts as far as having two rookies start on the offensive line in Quentin Nelson and Smith, Braden Smith for the Colts. And both guys play exceptionally well. Quentin Nelson is one of the best offensive guards in the National Football League, all pro guy, pro bowler. And Smith did some pretty good things. So seeing how well they were able to adjust to become starters and top tier players, clearly here in Atlanta, you definitely can see both guys. I can see both guys at some point in time starting together. Now, Lindstrom probably could be a day one starter.
Right.
I mean, not first day of training camp practices, but I mean first week of the season against Minnesota, he could be in that lineup. It might take some time for McGarry, but it's a long, long season. Right. And you don't draft two guys in the first round hoping they eventually get into the lineup. You believe at some point in time they will.
Right. And we've talked about Ty Sombrello, a dude who they give, you know, they have a contract to. They gave him, you know, not elite tackle money because he's not an elite tackle. He's more of a swing guy backup. But they drafted Caleb McGarry, hopefully with the intention he's going to have that nastiness. And you talked about it, a tackle. You want to have that guy, especially with our zone blocking scheme. The first, they got to learn the nuances of that. You also got to deal with the speed. And if you are playing right tackle, you've got some of the best edge rushers coming at you, too.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing about big guys, and McGarry's a big, big guy when you look at his measurables, he got to be able to be fluent. He got to be able to move. You know, some of these elite pass rushers, they have outstanding moves, not just about speed. It's not just about strength. Their hand placements is so important. And so for him, how fast will he make the adjustment to be able to adjust to the speed of the game?
5 weeks, does that matter, having one extra week? Because I know if the coaches hate that Hall of Fame game, but will that help these guys have an extra week evaluation?
And what I've heard so far coming from, you know, when it comes to with the Falcons, as far as the mini camps, as far as the OTAs, both players, Lindstrom and McGarry, has really improved.
Gotcha. Because the speed is always the key, right? Yeah. Speed is the difference. That's the thing from coming from college. We've talked about that with Brian earlier in the show. The Falcon Report brought to you by Domino's, guys. Get all the details and all the great things you can get for just $5.99 when you go to Domino's.com. All right, Matt Ryan, there's a Falcon Report that Squidbilly put these stats together for us. Drew Brees and Matt, they're always going back and forth. I mean, these guys, it's always for the division. Last year, unfortunately, it wasn't because, well, we lost to the Saints early. Well, I don't have to tell you about that losing streak late on. But Matt Ryan versus Brees. 32 touchdowns, 5 picks for Brees, 35 touchdowns, 7 picks for Matt. Matt was called on to do a hell of a lot more, Brian, because we had no run game.
Yep.
And the offensive line was banged up. One thing that's not in these numbers, Matt's quarterback rating was 7 points below Brees, is Matt was under duress the entire season, man. Mm-hmm. So who's your guy? You got one game to win right now. Brees or Ryan? I'll put you on the spot.
I don't know what my personnel is looking like.
All right, well, I mean,
don't know what surrounded me. Is it?
If we got, no, I'll give you one of these goofy sports talk hypotheticals. Okay, you got a guy of Julio, or you got Michael Thomas or Julio. Either way, you got pretty good wide receivers around. Who you got? One guy to get me down the field.
If you're giving me Matt Ryan with the guys he has surrounding him currently, compared to what Drew Brees have surrounding him, I'm taking Matt Ryan, and here's why. Like you said a year ago, Matt Ryan, he was running for his life. So many injuries on the offensive line. He couldn't really – he didn't have an opportunity to take advantage of a comfortable pocket. Couldn't run the football, but still put up big-time numbers. I mean, what, almost 5,000 yards. Mm-hmm. I mean, his completion percentage right under 70. 35 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. If you're giving me Matt Ryan with Julio, Muhammad, Sanu, this new offensive line, mm-hmm. Hooper, Ridley, and a healthy Devontae Freeman, I'm going Matt Ryan.
Now, Drew Brees is a guy that we've spoke to a number of times. We had him at the Super Bowl a couple years back. He's 40 years of age. And I'm not going to put it on Drew because other players got to make plays. But they've come up short.
Yeah.
You know, last couple of years, I don't have to tell Saints fans that live here. And by the way, go back to New Orleans and rebuild your city. But as far as this last one, the Rams, we know what happened. You know, the referees, yada, yada. Yeah. Does Brees look the same to you, though? I mean, everybody loses their fastball, don't they?
2017, Drew Brees was a top-tier player. 2018, Drew Brees, still top tier, but didn't play like he did in 2017.
Taking some of the pressure off with Kamara, right?
Exactly.
He didn't run the ball.
Exactly. You didn't need Drew Brees to put up Hall of Fame numbers every game. But one thing I can say about Drew Brees, one element when it comes to his game that he hasn't slowed down. He actually has improved completion percentage. I mean, every attempt is almost a completion. I mean, a year ago, he completed over 70% of his passes, 74 to be exact. That's impressive. Extremely impressive. And then when you talk about being smart with the football, you hit on it. Only five interceptions. Only five interceptions.
Right. Now, you got a balanced attack. Mark Ingram, they move on from, but you know Kamara, and you can plug in somebody. No disrespect to Mark Ingram to do the job that he was asked to do. You've got big-time receivers. You got Cam Jordan, by the way, saying, hey, man, pay that man his money.
Yep.
Get Michael Thomas's contract. So at least the defensive line has got Thomas's back in this deal. All right, there's the best of the best in that division. We talked yesterday about Cam Newton, about him trying to get some leg room on the way home from Paris. What about his arm? What do you make of these comments about a new throwing motion? What, was he going to throw like a softball?
You know what? I've seen some video of Cam, you know, throwing the ball. It's when you watch it, you know, visually, it's not a big difference, but you can tell little minor things here or there that he's changing. And this could actually be a blessing in disguise, Mike. And what I mean when I say that is the one knock about Cam has been his inability to be accurate and precise.
Especially on the what should be high percentage throws, like stuff underneath.
Yeah.
He doesn't set his feet. I think that's always been the beef with Cam. He can just slip it.
Fundamentals. Just the fundamentals in the pocket. And I know people will say, well, look at what he did a year ago. He had a career high in completion percentage around what I think it was 66 or 67% percent. But that's a little – there's an asterisk behind that.
Right.
And you know why? His leading receiver was his running back.
Yeah.
So
McCaffrey,
a lot of his attempts were short, intermediate throws. And because of that, that increased his completion percentage. Looking at some of the numbers now, a guy that has been an MVP, a guy that we consider to be a Pro Bowler, a guy that has been an All-Pro, his career completion percentage is 59. And that's included that rare year I just talked about last year where he was 67. When you look at some of the other elite quarterbacks in the game, their completion percentage as far as being in the career mark is mid-60s to higher.
And when they had that seven-game losing streak, another thing which hurt them too, when he was still able to throw the ball, he lost his sort of safety, his security blanket or safety valve in Greg Olsen.
Yeah, when you look at the entire NFC South, when you rank the quarterbacks as far as comparing their career completion percentage, Drew Brees, Matt Ryan, Jameis Winston, they are all above Cam Newton.
Wow.
Now, when it comes to Drew Brees, you're like, oh, well, that's Drew. I just talked about how well he's been, you know, when it comes to being smart with the football. And then if Matt Ryan is above you, then you can be like, well, MVP-like player.
Right.
He has won an MVP, consistent. Okay, but then Jameis, if Jameis is in front of you as far as career completion percentage, that's an issue. So, therefore, that's why I'm saying this could be a blessing in disguise for Cam.
It's going to be interesting with Jameis and Bruce Arians, and I know I asked you this the other day, but real quick, is Arians going to fix Jameis?
You know what?
If he wants to stay in Tampa and get paid, he's got
BA
to.
If B.A. can't fix him, no one can.
Okay.
One thing I can say about B.A., he's like the quarterback whisperer. Every quarterback he's touched, he's gotten the best out of.
Right. And Cam, by the way, he needs to have a monster year because he's got a contract coming up too.
Yeah.
You know, and Cam, don't forget, he's an MVP. Matt's an MVP. We've said this before, and I know I know Saints fans like this. Falcon fans get mad. When we had Drew Brees on, we're like, I'm like, how do you not have an MVP award? You know, because I think it was Squidbilly. Who snaked? Was it Brady or Peyton that snaked him on some? You could argue that you could have flipped a coin. I think it was Peyton, between Peyton and Drew Brees. Look, I know we hate the Saints, but you got to respect the guy's game. Interesting numbers, man. But you heard that what Brian said about Cam. And a year where, you know, did they do enough to help the wide receiver core, too, on that team?
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, like I said, it could be a blessing in disguise. But it's going to be an exciting year in the NFC South.
Hey, man, that's the Falcon Report, kind of handicapping the QB situation, brought to you by our buddies at Domino's. Again, more details at Domino's.com on the $5.99 selections. We come back, we're going to talk to Nick Green from Fox Sports South. Got a little testy in the second inning in the friendly confines, and who's in the right? And Brian says he'd like to see more guys drop F-bombs and start swinging on each other.
The strong arm story of the day is brought to you by John Foy & Associates Personal Injury Law.
Contreras and Tom Payne. And I think...
No, it's Flowers. Flo wants him.
John Tom Payne is warning everybody. Julio Teheran talking with Contreras as he went around the bases. And here we go in Chicago. Contreras now pointing at Julio Teheran, who has to be restrained by Ozzie Albies and Johan Camargo. And Tyler Flowers, a la Brian McCann and Carlos Gomez, took exception, and he wanted a piece of the Cubs catcher.
I've never seen Julio so jacked up, man. Usually Julio is just one mellow fellow, but he was fired up. It's a Brian McFadden in for Carl Dukes today on Dukes and Bell inside the Kia Studios. And joining us right now to talk more about what happened last night and hopefully the Braves getting back on the winning track in Chi-Town, it's Nick Green, a decade in Major League Baseball now with Fox Sports South. Hey, Nick, how you been, man?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What'd you think of that? I mean, Contreras has a rep as kind of a, well, kind of a turd, but what did you make of his conduct last night?
It was interesting. I didn't really see what happened initially. And I mean, I think it was a little petty, honestly. I know Contreras was frustrated about the strike two call, which was definitely a ball down in the strike zone. But the Cubs were getting the same call. So I don't know if Flowers said something to him or just smiled at him when he was complaining to the umpire or not, but it set him off. And when you know Contreras and know what his history is, it doesn't surprise you one bit. I was a little bit, I guess, caught off guard with the fact that he was rounding the bases so demonstratively and he hits home plate, starts yelling at Flowers, then runs to the dugout instead of standing there and talking to him like a man. So it is what it is, and I think it's going to blow over, but it makes for some interesting baseball for sure.
Yeah, Nick, and with that being said, I actually enjoyed watching it. It was entertaining, and I think just speaking – about the sport of baseball, and I played football my entire life. Emotions is something that I think the game sometimes lacks as far as, you know, individuals really showing their personality and getting emotionally caught up in the ball game. Now, granted, Contreras can be a bit difficult, and we know that. And like Mike said, he's known to be a turd. But when he went to that level, the atmosphere changed in Wrigley Field. It seems like the crowd got more involved, and, of course, the momentum started to roll in their favor. And I think that kind of catapulted them to being successful like we saw. And I think it's something that we should – I wouldn't mind seeing a little bit of that more often, to tell you the truth.
I like it, too. And I was more old school probably 3 or 4 years ago. But I like it. I like people showing their emotions. I like guys getting excited about different things. Obviously, there's a time and place for some of it, and there's not a time and place for some of it as well. But I do like the emotion, and, you know, from playing this at a professional level and at a high level, your intensity is so high in the game situation. Contreras was frustrated because he got a strike two called on that he felt like it was a ball, which was.
Right.
That makes you angry as a competitor. Then if Flowers said anything, which we don't know if he did or not, that makes you even more angry. And I've done so many things that I regret throughout my career, just being a little bit of a hothead here and there. I do like the intensity. I think some of it should be channeled down a little bit. But I think it's good for baseball in a sense of getting fans excited about it, getting people wanting to watch the game.
Right.
We don't know what's going to happen tonight. And probably more than likely nothing is going to happen. But it's going to have people tuning in to see if anything is going to happen. So I think it is good for the base for the game of baseball. And again, I think there's a time and place for some of it. Some of it I don't like. Some of it I'm okay with. So I'm growing into more of a new school type of attitude. And these guys are enjoying what they're doing. They have intensity and they're having fun out there.
It's Nick Green with his guys, former Brave, a decade in the show, and now he's on Fox Sports South, joins us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Also, you know, we've kind of got our energy guy, if you will, in Josh Donaldson. You know, Brian McCann is old school, Nick, and Josh is a guy that, you know, he kind of marches to the beat of his own drum. He told the Cubs Madden to shh when they were kind of upset because the strike zone was a great mystery last night.
Yeah, I like that from Donaldson. I think it's something this team needs, and who knows? I mean, I didn't really get to play against Donaldson much, but who knows if the other team is okay with that or not. I don't think they really are, but it's something that's added to this roster, and I think they need something like that. You're not going to see Freddie Freeman do something like that. You're not going to see Brian McCann do something like that. But Donaldson plays with an edge, with a flair, and when he's going well, you're going to see that more often than not, and I'm okay with that too. If you guys remember the other day, they had a situation, first and second, nobody out, and a bunt back to Donaldson. He makes the play. He gets the runner at third base, and he was pumped up. He was pumping his fist. He was jacked up. You never see that from this team, and I like it. I like that that intensity and that energy level that Donaldson brings to the table every day.
Yeah, I think every team should have that edginess from an individual. You know what I mean? A tone setter, a guy that can be the bouncer, the guy that gets things going emotionally, you know, or physically. And I think I agree with you when it comes to that. So what do you expect, Nick, to see tonight with Max Fried jumping on the mound You got Alzolay for
right, new guy.
For the Cubs making his second start. His first start, he was phenomenal. But looking at the history with Max Fried and the Cubs, granted, it's not a lot of history, but he's been so successful against the Cubs, only allowing one run in 11 innings. What do you expect to see with Fried stepping up tonight?
I want to see him bounce back from the four starts that were bad and have back-to-back good starts. We haven't seen him have back-to-back good starts in quite a while. I thought he was better last time out with his fastball command. That's definitely something you want to see. His curveball wasn't very good early on in his last start. He used a slider more. So I just want to see him command the strike zone a little bit better and throw competitive pitches inside the strike zone. When Max is struggling, he's outside the strike zone. The ball straight out of his hand is a ball. Hitters don't even offer at it. And then he's got to come middle because he has to throw strikes. So I want to see Max attacking the strike zone, being competitive with his fastball, not backing down. I know you can have a tendency to back down and try to nibble a little bit on the corners in Wrigley Field, depending on how the wind's blowing. We saw a couple balls last night that shouldn't have been home runs that were home runs.
Right.
Contreras, one of those. And Dansby, probably another one. But that's how it works in Wrigley Field. So I don't want him to look at the elements and say, I've got to be perfect. And I think that's the biggest thing with Max Fried. He doesn't have to be perfect. His stuff is so good. You just want to see him have back-to-back good starts, which we haven't seen in a while.
It is Nick Green, guys, from Fox Sports South, breaking it down as the series continues up in Chi-Town. The thing about Julio last night is Julio had a really good run going back to May, and now 13 earned runs his last two starts. Nick, if you're going to have to worry about Soroka and Fried and their load management, we got to have a good Julio. I mean, otherwise we may have to go get another arm.
Julio needs to step up and get back on track. And I actually was loving the Julio we were seeing over those eight starts. And then the last two starts, it's almost like he's reverted back to the old Julio. He's missing down the middle. His slider hasn't been great consistently. Whenever he was on that stretch of eight starts in a row where he had the ERA under one, he wasn't giving in. And I feel like he's been giving in a little bit more. He's had a lot of trouble finishing guys off with two strikes. But for this rotation, Julio has to be good because he's that veteran guy that they rely on to give them innings. If he's going to give you four innings or five innings, that's not going to be good enough, especially with this young staff and putting the pressure on the bullpen to pick up innings as well. So hopefully Julio can get back on track next time out. But the Julio we saw the last two games wasn't very good.
Nick, how important is this Cubs series with the Braves? And looking at what they have going on in the division right now, a five-game lead on the Phillies. But yet and still, they're playing against a very, very talented team, a team that's looking for some vengeance because the Braves just took advantage of the Cubs earlier in the year. But how important is this series when you look ahead outside of the Cubs?
I think any series is important. I mean, you don't want to look back on this series and say, oh, we got swept in a four-game series right in Chicago, and if we split that series, we would have won the division. So I think you have to look at this in a four-game series and look at a split as being a positive. I don't know necessarily that you look at this series and say, oh, if they don't win this series, that they aren't capable of winning in the playoffs or not a playoff team. I don't think you look at it like that. The Braves have won five series in a row
right
and 11 of the last 13 series. So they've been hot, and there's got to be a time where they cool off at some point. You just don't want it to be now. If it is, I have no doubt in my mind that this team's going to come back and play well the following series. So I'm not real worried about this series in particular, other than the fact that you don't want to lose a series just because of the sheer fact that you don't want to look back at this series late in the year and you've lost the division by one game and they get swept. You know, that's kind of how I look at the series. These guys look at it as game by game, which is cliche, but that's what they look at it as. They don't look at it and say, we've got to beat the Cubs. They just look at us. We need to win today, and that's it.
Yeah, man. Max Fried on the bump as we're talking with Nick Green from Fox Sports South. I think it was either you or Brian or Tom or somebody on the broadcast was saying when we swept the Cubbies at home for the home opener, they're not going to be this bad the next time we see them. And the Cubs have got it cooking. They can rake. The team I'm worried about, Nick, is the Dodgers and Cubs too, for that matter. What would be the thing? I mean, do you trust Luke Jackson? Do you give him another month to show he can do it? Or you say, I've got to go get a closer for this team?
Yeah, you've got to go get a closer. I think Luke has done a great job. I don't think he's necessarily a closer. I think he could be great in the seventh or eighth inning. But who are you going to get, who's available, and what's the cost? That's the question. I think Alex is going to make a move, but can you get a legit closer that you want, is that even a possibility? So I'm curious to see how this thing all plays out with who Alex picks up, because you know he's going to make a move.
Right.
I know Felipe Vasquez in Pittsburgh is a guy that everybody's saying they would love to have here. I would love to have him too. Mm-hmm. And just in general with the bullpen, I would love to see them get a couple of arms, not just one.
Right.
Obviously, I think you need a closer, but I think two arms would be definitely a step in the right direction. But when you look at baseball and the bullpens around baseball, I was reading an article yesterday, and the relievers ERA around Major League Baseball in the month of June is 4.72. So it's not like it's just the Braves that have this problem. And you're looking at a bunch of other teams competing for the same guys that they feel like can help in the back end of the bullpen. So how hard is it going to be for Alex to get that legitimate closer? That's what we have to wait and see.
Great stuff, Nick. We'll all be watching tonight, man. Thanks so much for coming on.
All right, guys.
You got it. Nick Green right there on the WadeFord.com hotline. Yeah, man, need some pitching help, man. You know, we got a great thing going. We're raking, but it's about the World Series. We're not just here to win divisions. We're
no
about to win the championship.
And when you get in the tournament, you got to be all in and try to get to a championship game series. Mm. And I think the Braves have that when it comes to the bats. They got a championship caliber team when it comes to the offense. Not right. quite there yet defensively.
John Lester, by the way, has never lost to the Braves as a Cub. Squid Billy pulled that stat. That is a great stat. We'll come back, man. Mike Conte's ready to rock and roll. If you missed the 340 version, in case you missed it, it was men versus nature. It's all on the way on 92.9 The Game.
Busy. Pretty busy.
Who busy?
Busy.
What? I'm very busy right now.
Hey, man.
It's time now for In Case You Missed It with Mike Conte.
I got good news for you.
Right here on Dukes and Bell.
And once again, Brian McFadden filling in for Carl today on the show as we're live inside the Kia Studios. What you got, Mike Conte?
There are times when I feel like the Olympics are in danger of jumping the shark. I don't know if you saw yesterday, by the way, the Winter Olympics in 2026 are going to Milan. That's great. Super. They're going to have the opening ceremonies at the San Siro, which is where
famous soccer
AC
stadium
Milan
right.
plays. And today they're trying to finalize the program of events for the 2024 Summer Olympics in Paris. And the International Olympic Committee has advanced a proposal. It's now one vote away to add breakdancing to the Olympics. Breakdancing to the Summer Olympics in 2024.
Mike, I think you'd do well.
Hey, man. No, no. I never had any cardboard to roll with, man. I never did that thing, man.
Now,
I was always a hard rocking guy. Mike, you got to be kidding. Come on.
No, I am not kidding. There's going to be a final decision next December of 2020. They also, in Paris, want to add sport climbing, surfing, and skateboarding. I don't really know where you're going to be able to use a surfing venue in Paris.
I presume you'd have to go to Brittany, you know? But I don't know if the waves are that good
really
over there.
I don't think they get wave action there. Yeah. I mean, you don't really see the Ron John World Championships taking place in the English Channel.
Yeah.
So the way it's going to work...
There's French Tahiti.
Hey, look, if you want to have a satellite venue in French Tahiti, go ahead. The way it's going to work, there are going to be 16 different countries that will be, I guess, entered into the Olympic breakdancing tournament, men's and women's, because you have to have gender equity. And now...
I didn't know breakdancing was still a thing.
Yeah, clearly it is.
I didn't know either.
Now, Craig used to pop. Look, Craig could do it back in the Bay Area.
Okay.
Back, you ever do any of that, there, Brian, down in Hollywood,
really
Florida?
Pop like that, no.
All right, now, we got no rhythm. If Carl was here, I know Carl did this in San Antonio.
Popping never was my thing.
Possibly. Now, let's just keep in mind, you know, we're calling it breakdancing here in the United States.
Yeah,
in other parts of the world, they refer to it as street dancing.
Street
dancing. So the president of the Paris 2024 Olympic Committee says it is very important for us in our concept to put sports out of the stadiums and in the heart of the city. So they are looking for a street venue in Paris. I don't know if they'll do this on the Champs-Élysées.
The Rue de Rivoli would be a nice spot.
Or
right there in the Louvre.
Yeah, in front of a metro stop. Mm-hmm. I don't know. By the way, sailing will be in Marseille. Surfing is going to be in, I don't know how to pronounce this, Biarritz.
Biarritz.
Biarritz, thank you, which is in southwestern France. So there you go. Breakdancing.
Wow. Can't wait
in
to
the
see.
Olympics.
Hopefully it gets an opportunity to get in, right?
It will be televised. I mean, we know that. I mean, every Olympic event is televised and shown in this country. So I don't know what NBC hockey commentator they're going to get to announce the breakdancing competition, but
Beer Ritz, by the way, is down by the Spanish border in southwest France. That's interesting.
I will pick
Marseille for sailing.
Like,
okay.
My friend, a universal song that everybody has.
I was
going to
say the same tune.
Can you pick your
own? That's a really good question because, in gymnastics.
And that's the way it is.
Yeah.
Right. In gymnastics, everyone in the preliminaries has to do the floor exercise to the exact same song.
Yeah, really?
So if you go, if anyone here in Atlanta went to Olympic gymnastics in 1996, you heard that same song over and over and over because everyone had to do the same song. I think once you get to the final round, you get to pick your own song.
Yeah,
right.
So
You know what I would do if I was a part of that Olympic team, it was going to be breakdancing, mm-hmm. I would come out with the radio on my shoulder, dressed in some 80s attire, and just go.
Yeah. Here we go. Now, Brian, I know because you're a big-time NFL baller, you've been to Europe. And one thing is certain, black, white, green, brown, in between, those guys just don't dance to the beat. They're always off. There's always off by a quarter measure to the rhythm.
You know what?
Whoever I've seen it in the clubs, Mike. I've seen it.
If this gets through, right, based on what Mike has just informed us, you better believe that team that's coming from all parts of the globe can get it in.
Well, we can't lose this. I mean, it's a matter of pride.
We bet not lose.
We better dust off Shalimar, Mike.
He said Shalimar.
So, honest question.
Yes, sir.
I mean, let's say it's the United States and Great Britain going for the gold medal.
Yeah.
What happens if Great Britain gets served by the United States? Like, are they stripped of their silver medal? Like, right? are they disqualified for being served, and then there's just no silver medal? You go straight to the bronze? I don't
been
know.
Been served. Yeah, the only I one. There could be only one, right? Like
yes.
Mortal Kombat.
Right, exactly. Yeah. A buddy of mine, Jason, just texted me. Said he saw a global breakdancing competition in Copenhagen, and he says, to his knowledge, very, very big Olympic sport or international sport.
This is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Seriously. I mean, my baseball kid, they hate America so much we can't have baseball in the Olympics anymore. How about arm wrestling?
I think baseball might be back in. Actually, it's really funny. If you, I'll pull it up really quick. Mm-hmm. I mean, the list
is baseball back?
I think baseball is back, but the list of events that have been considered to be added to the Olympics and have just missed,
right?
Which is potentially the case here with breakdancing, it's actually kind of funny. And there have been some sports that have been knocked out of the Summer Olympics.
Right.
For example, 3-on-3 basketball is going to come into the Olympics, believe it or not. But there were other sports like a lot of equestrian events have been knocked out of the Olympics.
Yeah, because that's totally elitist. I mean, I know other than a few well-heeled people living in the northern – I mean, who can afford that? How many people are into equestrian? I know you could argue back in the day, but come on. That seems like one that should be put out to pasture, pardon the pun.
Something called Basque Peyote.
What is it?
You're making peyote?
No.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Pelota is Spanish for a ball. This looks a lot like Hialeah.
Yeah, isn't Hialeah from, like, don't all the players come from Basque or from Malta?
I mean, Hialeah is huge in Miami.
Yeah, because I thought they all came from, like, the same part of the world.
I'm not sure, but I can tell you that Spain won the gold and France won the silver in the 1900 Olympics, the only time it was ever contested. Tug of war. In the Olympics.
Now, that makes sense.
That's actually not bad. Like, that requires strength.
Right.
Total body strength. It was in the Olympics all the way through 1920, and then they kicked it out. A sport called ROQ, ROQUE, was contested at the 1904 Summer Olympics. This looks like croquet.
Okay.
It was croquet.
Okay
yeah.
Interesting.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Well, did you like when they added golf? Because we have all the majors. Why did we have to put golf in the Olympics? You know, Ricky Fowler got the Olympic tattoo on his arm, and he loved the time.
Jammed up the golf schedule. They had to move the PGA Championship as a result.
Right.
Jeu de Paume at the 1908 Summer Olympics. This is also referred to as real tennis.
Okay.
And I don't know what the difference is between real tennis and modern tennis, but that's something that was played. Lacrosse was in the Summer Olympics. Now, that would make sense, too.
Yeah, right.
You know, I don't know. The problem is, and it's like Mike said with baseball, and again, baseball is back in the Summer Olympics as of 2020. So it's going to be played in Tokyo, which makes sense. It's popular in
Japan. That's good to know.
But like in the case of lacrosse, and potentially in the case of breakdancing, they're not going to put an event in the Olympics if there are only a few countries that do it, that can field a team.
Who plays lacrosse? Us in Canada, right?
Yeah, and I don't know what else, really. I don't know if it's big in Europe. Right. I don't know if it's big in...
How about, you know, Mike, why don't we do a sport we can really get our heads around? How about rollerball? Remember the movie with James Caan back in the 70s?
So
now,
no
that's
joke.
Something I'd like to see.
No joke. Craig, if you can pull this up, I know you're busy right now. If you can pull this up, I don't know how much time we have left.
Nobody puts Mike Conti in a corner.
Goodwill Games. Do you remember the old Goodwill Games that Ted Turner started because Russia boycotted the 1984 Summer Olympics?
Right.
So they had a Goodwill Games 2 years later in, I think, Moscow.
Mm-hmm.
And they had rollerball in the Goodwill Games. And do you know who the announcer was for Turner Sports?
No way.
Skip Carey.
Are you serious?
And it's on YouTube. And it was basically kind of a mashup of polo, like that you play on horses, basketball, and motorsports. And they played on like mopeds or like little motor scooters.
I've been looking for this my entire life.
Yes,
I never knew this happened.
Skip Carey does the commentary. I am not joking.
I'm looking for it right now.
This is an actual thing.
Right. Oh, my God.
This is an actual thing.
No, so Brian, real quick. You're younger than me, but you remember the movie Rollerball?
Yeah.
Okay, so for those
the skates, right?
Yeah, so for those millennials who never saw the movie, the remake sucked. But the original with James Caan was classic. It was dystopian future world where this was how you're going to avoid wars by having a competition and showing the futility of individuality. Remember that, Mikey?
Mm-hmm.
But it was a great freaking movie. But I got the movie poster. I love Rollerball. I can't believe they did that.
Yeah, and I'm going to give Craig a pass. This is a hard one to find on YouTube, so I don't think we're going to be able to pull it up in enough time. But if you have time tonight,
all right.
Skip Carey, and he made an allusion to, you know, Ernie Banks said, let's play two, but here in Russia. Like, I guess rollerball was a big, big thing in the Soviet Union.
I had no idea.
So they actually did it.
Man.
Water motorsports, by the way, was in the Olympics in 1908.
Like water skiing or
no, they
boat
would
racing?
They would race motorboats. So imagine, now that would be kind of fun.
Imagine we had like offshore powerboat racing as part of the Olympics. I'd watch that.
Like I'd watch that over break dancing.
Or
bring
the stupid
hydrofoil racing.
Or the stupid synchronized swimming, which is one of the dumbest things in the world. I'd rather see the Miss Budweiser flying. You could do it in the Côte d'Azur right there off of Nice. And man, we could have boats racing at 150 miles an hour in the Med.
River Seine, Miss Arroyo Berto going for the gold medal for Team USA.
Art Ekman could call it, Mike.
He's done it before.
Unlimited hydrofoil racing down the Ohio River.
So, again,
dude, this is the greatest
final
ever.
Final vote next December on
breakdancing
in the
Olympics. That's rollerball, my favorite sport that doesn't exist in the real world.
as soon as we go to break, I'm going to try to find it. It is unbelievable.
We used to play in our neighborhood, no joke. We would get on the we would take the tennis nets down on the tennis court at the playground, and we would do rollerball on bikes and roller skates.
Really?
We would just beat the crap out of each other.
You guys made a game.
Yeah, man, that's fun. Hey, good stuff, Mike Conti. Don't forget, Mike's going to be on his way to Toronto tomorrow. You'll have the call with Jason Longshore. What time's the broadcast start?
7:30. We'll be on the air tomorrow night.
All right, have a great call up in Canada, man. Let's go United. We'll come back. The big stories of the day. Drew Brees makes a nice welcome to Zion. Also, I want to get into this whole Mets nonsense. Should agents really be running teams between the Lakers and the Mets? It's a disaster.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.